Praise the Lord, my dear friend. Let me once again welcome you to your most favorite program, The Pentecost Hour, proudly sponsored by the Church of Pentecost Headquarters. We are most privileged to have on Pentecost Hour an apostle of the Church of Pentecost and a missionary. He is in the person of Apostle Dr. Della Quampa. He examines the subject eschatology. So my dear friend, let us listen to Apostle Dr. Della Quampa. A rock of refuge, you are my hiding place and shield. Be to me a rock of refuge, you are my hiding place and shield. In you, oh Lord, do I take refuge. Do not cast me from your
refuge. Do not cast me from your presence. Be to me a rock of refuge. You are my hiding place and shield. Be to me a rock of refuge. You are my hiding place and shield.
Praise the Lord. My beloved listener, it's my pleasure to engage with you once more on the airwaves. Want to appreciate the Church of Pentecost who sponsors the Pentecost Hour program on this channel, and also the radio minister, Apostle Dan Nitaki, my producer, Mr. Olaga, and the technical team that makes sure this program reaches you wherever you are. I've been away on the mission field for some time, and it's a joy to be back. Want to also appreciate all those who have been sending good feedback on my pre-recorded messages that you used to listen to. The radio pastor has passed them on to me, and I want to thank you for appreciating this ministry. I am Della Quampa, and for the next couple of weeks, I would like to speak on a topic that is extremely important but receives very little attention in Christian ministry. The topic is extremely important, but it receives very little attention in Christian ministry. And my major theme is our eschatological hope. Our eschatological hope. Eschatology refers to the study of the last things, or the chain of events that will mark the end of the age. The word eschatology derives from two Greek words, eschaton and logos, eschaton, and logos. Eschaton just refers to the last things or last, and logos refers to word or knowledge. In that sense, we are talking about knowledge or information or revelation about the last days, the last series of events that will mark the end of the age. Permit me to read a long passage, but it is very, very important and relevant. Why? Because it is better for you to listen to Jesus Christ than to me. I am therefore reading from the Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 13, 1 to 26. The Gospel according to Mark, chapter 13, from verse 1 to 26. As he was going out of the temple complex, one of his disciples said to him, "Teacher, look, what massive stones, what impressive buildings." Jesus said to him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here on another that will not be thrown down." While he was sitting on the Mount of Olives across the temple complex, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign when all these things are about to take place?" Then Jesus began by telling them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and they will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, don't be alarmed. These things must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains. But you, be on your guard. They will hand you over to the Sanhedrin, and you will be flogged in the synagogues. You will stand before governors and kings because of me, as a witness to them. And the good news must first be proclaimed to all nations. So when they arrest you and hand you over, don't worry beforehand what you would say. On the contrary, whatever is given to you in that hour, say it, for it isn't you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Then brother will betray brother to death, and children will rise up against parents and put them to death, and you will be hated by everyone because of my name, but the one who endures to the end will be delivered. When you see the abomination that causes desolation standing where it should not, let the reader understand. Then those in Judea must flee to the mountains. A man on the housetops must not come down or go in to get anything out of his house. And a man in the field must not go back to get his clothes. Woe to the pregnant women and nursing mothers in those days. Pray it won't happen in winter. For those will be days of tribulation, the kind that hasn't been from the beginning of the world, which God created until now, and never will be again. Unless the Lord limited those days, no one would survive. But he limited those days because of the elect whom he chose. Then, if anyone tells you, 'Look, here is the Messiah,' 'Look there,' do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and will perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect. and you must watch. I have told you everything in advance. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not shed its light. The stars will be falling from the sky. The celestial powers will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. He will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the end of the earth to the end of the sky. That is the reading from Mark 13, 1 to 26, which is referred to as Jesus' eschatological discourse, or Jesus' pronouncements on the end times. It is interesting to note that God's sense of time is different from our sense of time. In this short passage of about 26 verses, the reading that I've just taken from Mark 13, 1 to 26, reveals God's sense of time, which is different from ours. No wonder Peter says, 1,000 years is like a day in the Lord's sight, and a day could be like 1,000 years. In this reading, Jesus crams the development or chains of events that would take place when he ascended to heaven right across the generations to the very end of the age. Some of the things he referred to were actually historical and they have happened. Some are yet to happen. For instance, the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70 by the Romans was predicted by Jesus in this passage. Then he proceeds to tell us that a lot of false messiahs would come, earthquakes would happen, wars would occur, rumors of wars would occur, there will be natural and man-made disasters, famines, and all kinds of traumatic events and tragic events would take place. But he says one significant thing: the end is not yet. Let me use this medium to appeal to people who have been using certain events to intimidate and to misinform by trying to predict the return of Christ. They refer to wars and rumors of wars: Syria, Iraq, South Sudan, Libya, Yemen, Afghanistan. They refer to tsunamis and earthquakes and volcanoes, and they are like predicting Christ is coming tomorrow. Well, Jesus said these things would happen, but the end is not yet. So, what do? We need to live in readiness for the coming of Christ, that he could come today or tomorrow. But we also need to plan that he might come in 1,000 years. That is the paradox and tension of our eschatological hope. Christ is coming soon, but Christ is not here yet. May God grant us grace. Hold these two concepts of time in creative tension. Now, talking about false prophets and their predictions, I don't need to tell you, but we know that is what is characterizing the Christian community of late, of people making all kinds of predictions, causing havoc, identifying witches, claiming they can perform fake and weird miracles, predicting strange things about people, telling their congregation members to do abnormal things such as chewing grass, eating snake, drinking petrol, all in the name of prophetic deliverance. Jesus' prediction of false messiahs is true, isn't it? But turning to the topic of eschatology, we need to try and understand certain keywords anytime we are tackling the topic of eschatology. And I would just give about three or four of them with their interpretation, and we will proceed with the teaching. The first word that is very important in learning about the end times is the word apocalypsis. Apocalypsis refers to revelation of things that are hidden, that have been exposed. And it is normally associated with the end time literature. So the revelation of John, for instance, which is the last book of the Bible, is apocalyptic literature. The next technical term we need to know in eschatology, my beloved listener, is Antichrist. What is Antichrist? Antichrist is anything that opposes Christ or any person that opposes Christ generally. However, specifically, when it comes to the study of eschatology, we are expecting an individual to emerge who would be a counterfeit Christ, a prominent or significant Antichrist who will oppose everything that Jesus does. He will not just oppose it, but he would also imitate it. So the Antichrist will be revealed at the appointed time. Then the next word is the millennium. The millennium is actually a prophetic period of 1,000 years, stated in Revelation 20, 1 to 3. Revelation 20, 1 to 3 is referred to a prophetic period of 1,000 years when Christ is expected to come back to earth and rule with the saints, where there will be peace, stability, and perfect harmony in nature and in human communities. The millennium is a very, very important terminology in eschatology. Then, the next word is tribulation. Tribulation refers to an intense period of suffering that would come upon the world to mark the end time period. Tribulation. We'll be talking further about the tribulation as we go along. My beloved listener, the fifth and the final word we want to look at is the parousia. Parousia generally refers to the coming or the arrival of a distinguished person. The coming or the arrival of a distinguished person. So then, the second coming of Christ is normally referred to as the parousia because he is the most important person, if you like, in the whole of creation, the whole universe, whose coming, physical presence, we are expecting at the end of the age. My topic is our eschatological hope. Now, I want to proceed by saying that no account can fully describe the momentous events that mark the second coming in full details. The events are impossible to describe with our limited scope of human experience. Therefore, if you turn to the book of Revelation, you realize that there are a lot of symbols, images, numbers that are used to try to express the inexpressible. And all these symbols have significant meanings that communicate the divine purpose. And we will try and explain those that we can as we go along. My dear listener, I want to challenge you that even as we learn about the end time events, Let us be careful that revelation or eschatology is not intended for speculation, but to motivate us to holy living. Many people in studying and teaching eschatology engage in speculation, making all kinds of predictions, pointing to all kinds of figures as symbolic of end-time events. And some of them, I'm afraid, have proved to be false. So I want to say again, revelation is not intended for speculation, but to motivate us to holy living. Christians are supposed to live in anticipation of the fulfillment of the revelation. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:19, "If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men." And Richard Baxter said the hope of heaven has to control, direct, and energize our life on earth. The hope of heaven has to direct, control, and energize our life on earth. Unquote. Someone has said that when the church ceases to be heavenly focused, it becomes less effective on earth. If the church ceases to be heavenly focused, it becomes less effective on earth. May the concepts of the end times challenge us, inspire us, motivate us, equip us, indeed provoke us to live holy lives and to be committed to the propagation of the gospel so that we would contribute to the process of the expectation of the arrival of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, talking about eschatology, a series of events or order of events are normally established depending on what you believe in terms of the concept of eschatology. Now, being a Pentecostal, I want to present the position of my movement on eschatology, which is normally referred to as premillennialism. Premillennialism is something that I would explain with time, but premillennialism just refers to the 1,000 years that I have mentioned as the millennium, and premillennial rapture, or the rapture occurs before the millennium. The rapture occurs before the 1,000 years is what Pentecostals believe in, and they refer to as premillennialism. Now, the order of events are this, that the next major event on God's calendar will be the rapture. And the rapture is stated in 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18. After the rapture will be the Bema Seat Judgment. Bema Seat Judgment. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Then will be the tribulation, Revelation 6 to 9. During the tribulation, there will be the revelation of the Antichrist, 2 Thessalonians 2:3-8. 2 Thessalonians 2:3 to 8. After the tribulation will be the parousia, the second coming of Christ, Revelation 19:11. Revelation 19:11. Then we will have the Battle of Armageddon, recorded in Revelation 16:16. Revelation 16:16. After the Battle of Armageddon, there will be the millennial reign of Christ, Revelation 23. After the millennium, there will be the very final, ultimate battle, which is the Battle of Gog and Magog. Revelation 20 following. And the very last event that we are expecting to occur to mark the end of the age is the White Throne Judgment. The Great White Throne Judgment. Revelation 20:11 following. Now, I will run off here for today and proceed next week to talk about millennialism or the various positions regarding the millennium. My beloved listener, this is the eschatological hope of Christians, the hope of eternal life, the hope that will survive all hopes, the hope that God is going to destroy this earth and there will be a new earth and a new heaven, a new Jerusalem that would come down from heaven, which is the hope of the Christians. I challenge you not to lose focus of our heavenly calling, our heavenly hope, as we engage with our daily activities, trying to make a living, build a fortune, build a family. May you focus on heaven. May you focus on the end time issues. May you focus on the second coming of Christ, where the ultimate reward of Christians will be revealed. May God grant you grace. May God inspire you. May God challenge you. May God resource you to be an effective Christian even at this time, even as we prepare for the fulfillment of our eschatological hope. I challenge you, if you are not a believer, may you turn your life over to Christ to serve Him so that this hope would be fulfilled in your life. If you are a believer, I challenge you to demonstrate more commitment, to demonstrate more dedication as we look forward to the fulfillment of our eschatological hope, our eschatological hope. May God bless you. May God resource you. May God equip you and prepare you for our heavenly hope and its fulfillment. Amen.
Thank you very much, my dear friend, for being part of this edition of Pentecost, our proudly sponsored by the Church of Pentecost headquarters. And we have been listening to Apostle Dr. Dela Kwampa, an apostle of the Church of Pentecost and a missionary. If you have been touched by this message and you want to give your life to Christ, to accept Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, let me give you this opportunity. Kindly repeat this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, I accept you today as my Lord and personal Savior. I'll live for you all the days of my life. So help me God. Thank you very much, my dear friend. If you have said a prayer, kindly call 024-767-9833. 024-767-9833. I am Daniel Ni Tetetaki. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.